Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This morning, I'm so excited to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior with you today and to kick off a brand new series called The Miracle of Mercy. Is anybody thankful for the Lord's mercy today? Man, mercy is God's undeserved favor. Amen. I don't deserve His favor. It's His undeserved favor and mercy. I don't deserve it. This past week, as we've been focusing on what is called Passion Week, or in many circles, Holy Week, we began last Sunday and we were finishing up a series that we were doing called The Wilderness. And we were talking about the fact that the wilderness is not a place where we're to get stuck, but rather it is a season in our lives that we move through and that kicks off a brand new day, a brand new thing that God wants to do in our lives. And we want to continue kind of down that vein this morning because I believe that the resurrection of Jesus was a brand new day of mercy for you and me. A brand new day of mercy for you and me. You see, Jesus came, as we talked about last Palm Sunday last week, He came with high expectations. Man, people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." And then somewhere along the line of that week, things changed. Something happened. And shouts of "Hosanna, Hosanna" turned on that Friday to shouts of "Crucify Him, crucify Him." You see, for those that followed Jesus, their expectations were high, but all of a sudden things had changed. The one they were following, the one they had come to know and given their lives for, all of a sudden all of their hopes and their dreams they witnessed up on that cross. In fact, even previous to that, when Jesus had been arrested in the garden, many of His disciples scattered. One of His disciples who was closest to Him by the name of Peter denied even knowing Him. Another of His disciples was right there and betrayed Him with a kiss. The only one that we see even hanging around the cross was one of His disciples by the name of John. Everybody else had kind of scattered. And so what we see is that those who had come to the cross, those who had come to be with Jesus, and they heard His words that Friday that said, "It is finished." For us looking back, that is a shout of victory. It is finished. Death has been defeated. But for them, "It is finished" had a whole different meaning. For them, "It is finished" mean that the one they had loved, Jesus, the one they had followed, the one they had given their lives for, was dead. And where were they going to turn? It was a very dark day that Friday. It was a very dark day, a dark day of defeat. Matthew 27, 57 to 61 begins, and this is where I want to begin today, because we can't enjoy the miracle of mercy of the resurrection without beginning with what happened on that Friday. And that Friday, after Jesus had given His life and said, "It is finished," and gave up His spirit, Matthew 27, 57 to 61 begins. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to be released, an order to release it to him. And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen, placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. And then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Notice this last line. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. That was a dark Friday. That was a dark Friday. In fact, not even any of His own followers, His closest disciples, came to even take care of His body. They had scattered. They were afraid. But Joseph of Arimathea, who was kind of a quiet follower, we don't know much about him, but we know he was a quiet follower. He was one of the ones that said, "This man, Jesus, needs to be buried properly," and gave up his own tomb, as we talked about already, borrowed for 3 days. But at that time, nobody knew the tomb would be borrowed. Everybody expected hope had been lost. Jesus was dead. And so what we see is Jesus being buried. Now they had to hurry because the Sabbath day was coming, and Sabbath always started on the evening before. It didn't start on Saturday. It started on Friday evening at sunset. And so they had to hurry before the sun was setting. And so Jesus' burial was somewhat rushed to be able to go in. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb, and they were watching. And one of the last things that they see as Jesus is put and wrapped and put in that tomb is a big stone being rolled in front of the tomb. That stone represented for them an obstacle. It represented a season in which one that they had loved had been buried. It represented the end. In their darkest of days, they were confused. They were stunned. They didn't know what to expect. What they didn't count on was, is there was a new day of mercy coming. A new day of mercy. In fact, I'd like to back up to a prophecy. A guy by the name of Zechariah, he was John the Baptist's father. When John the Baptist was born, he made a prophetic statement of praise, but a prophetic statement nonetheless. And this is the word that Zechariah had given, the father of John the Baptist. This is what he said. He declared this: because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Do you see that? I want to read it again. I don't think you caught it. You guys are as quiet as those in first service. I expect them to be quiet. They're here early. Come on. Those who sit in darkness. Look at this. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Listen, that is where I believe the disciples were. That's where I believe the women were, where Mary Magdalene was. There they were on that Friday, and they were under the shadow of death. It was a dark day. What they didn't realize was that there was a new day of dawning in God's mercy, a new light from heaven about to break forth. And as we get into this story this morning, I want you to know that there are some of you that, like the disciples and like Mary, have had a chapter in your life, have had something that has happened in your life in which it has brought you to a place of hopelessness. There are obstacles and impossibilities like that big stone that have been rolled away. And for you, just like them, that stone marks a time in your life when you say, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know where to go from here. And like them, on that Sabbath, on that Saturday, you're in a period of waiting. And as they were there waiting, I can only imagine, as they were recounting everything that had happened over that past week, how did we get from praise to crucify him? How did we get from Hosanna to him being dead on the cross? How did we get here? What had happened? Even though Jesus had predicted his death, Jesus had predicted that he would be handed over and that he would rise again, nobody seemed to believe it. How did we get here? I imagine that on that Saturday, how many of you know when you're sitting there just in that period of waiting and you can't do anything and there's nothing that you find that you can do, how many of you know that your mind begins to work? I can imagine they were hearing the sound of the anvil against the nails as they were put through Jesus' hands. They were hearing the cries, crucify him. They heard the lashes that had been on his back. I can imagine they were recounting the grief, and I think that probably the last thing that probably kept them awake at night was seeing that stone that had been rolled in front. But friends, even in that between time, under the shadow of death, God's light was about to break through. For Matthew 28, 1 says this: early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Who had witnessed the stone being rolled in front? Mary's. Both of them had witnessed the stone. But Matthew 28:1 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, it was a new day of mercy. The resurrection represented a new day of mercy. And I want to share with you four areas that the resurrection brings a new day of mercy for us. First of all, a new day of mercy for those that are grieving. Matthew's gospel talks about this new day of mercy being dawned, but I want to switch over to Mark's gospel because you see, what happened is when the Sabbath was over, as I said, it started the evening before, so by about sunset on Saturday of the Sabbath, they were able to do something again, and people process grief differently. Some are doers, and here they go. They've been waiting and waiting, and now there's something they can do, and what are they about to do? Well, Mark 16, 1-3 says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. They could anoint his body. What were they doing? They said, we had to rush before the Sabbath to get him in, but we didn't properly take care of his body. We want to make sure that we take care of that. So they bought these spices and they were coming. And it was a way to be able to tribute, a way of tribute, a way to be able to honor Jesus in his death. And then it says, very early on Sunday morning, this was the sunrise crowd, the 8:30 crowd. They didn't wait till noon. They didn't wait for lunchtime. They weren't the 10:30 crowd. You're the 10:30 crowd. You slept in a little bit. This was the 8:30 crowd. Maybe the 6:30 crowd. But it says this, very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb, and on the way, they were asking each other a question. Look at this question. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? They weren't going to wait for Jesus to resurrect. They didn't have in their minds that, okay, he said on the third day he was rise. Come on, let's go early. Let's wait for it. Ready? 10, 9, 8. See, the sun's coming up, right? Come on, this wasn't like a new year. This wasn't like waiting for the countdown of the shuttle to go into outer space. They weren't going there because they had hope in a resurrection. They were going there because they were going to honor somebody that was dead. And there was a problem. They wanted to honor him, but the thing that was on their mind was the last thing that they saw on that Friday evening. And that was, there was a big stone that had been rolled away. Who will roll away the stone? And you know what? For some of you, you're in that place. Hope seems so far away. You want to believe. There's things you want to do. But before you and in your mind is an obstacle. There is a large stone that is an obstacle. And that obstacle is in the way. And you're thinking to yourself, how is that obstacle going to move? Friends, the resurrection is a new dawn of mercy. Because as they came and as they arrived, their minds got blown by something they did not expect. Mark 16, chapter 4, but as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. Friends, the resurrection and new life of Jesus Christ means that the impossibilities are no longer impossible. That which is impossible is made possible by God. It is a miracle. It was a miracle. They came to see a stone in front of a tomb, and instead it was rolled away. Now, I don't know about you, but I think at that point a heart would have leapt a little bit. When they entered the tomb, it keeps going, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where his body was laid. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." And it says the women fled the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. I don't know about you, but can you imagine the scene? They go in expecting a dead Jesus, and instead they see this young man in white, obviously an angel sitting there, and they don't get what they expect to hear. They say, look, his body is gone. His body is gone. I don't know about you, but I'd have been so excited. I'd have been shouting, he said he would arise, and he did it. I'd have been running, woohoo, right? But that's not what it says they did. They didn't do that. It says they were trembling. That means they were afraid. They were bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Well, what had happened? How did the disciples know? Hey, I thought Peter and John went running to the tomb. Well, if we take a look at John's perspective and we see his account of what went on, and I've just found this, everybody has a different story and a different perspective on how they see things. You know what I'm talking about? That's what makes the gospel so true. It's not a cookie cutter story that somebody sat back in a room somewhere and all recorded down and said, come on, let's get our story straight, everybody. That's not what happened. They were all sharing it as they remember it. You know that. You get together for family gathering. Somebody begins to recount a story and you say, well, that's not the way I remember it. I remember it this way. Right? That's just human nature. Everybody's remembering it from a different thing. So I think what happened here is somebody did finally get up the courage to say something. And John tells us who it was. It was Mary Magdalene. She was there early on that Sunday morning. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Early on that Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. See, this is another account. What happened doesn't mention the other women. It doesn't mention the burial spices. But I can tell you, it doesn't even mention the angel the first time. But she ran back and she said, listen, we're bewildered, but we got to tell somebody. I don't want to tell everybody. I'm going to tell Peter and John. I know they were close to him. I got to tell them what's going on. And she's angry. She's hurt. You don't see her declaring that Jesus is risen from the dead. She's angry. She's hurt. She's bewildered. She doesn't believe he's been risen from the dead. She doesn't believe it. In fact, the words, you can hear the anger and the grief in her words at her loss. She says, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him. We don't know where they put him. It's just too unbelievable. She's having too hard of a time processing. In fact, in her processing, she decides to go back to the tomb. She says, I got to take a look again. How many have ever had to do that before? The first time is just too, I can't believe it. I got to go back and check it out again. Right? And that's what she does. She goes back. She goes back. It says Mary was standing outside. Maybe she followed Peter and John. I'm not sure. She goes back, standing outside the tomb, crying, and she wept, and she stooped, and she looked in. Now, she didn't go in herself this time. She just stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels. So if a young man sitting there in clothes wasn't enough, now this time she sees two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head, the other sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying, and they say to her, this dear woman, why are you crying? The angels ask her. And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. Listen, this is the second time she said this to Peter and John. Now she goes back a second time, and she says the same thing. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. There are angels. She has seen angels twice, and she still doesn't believe. So if you're struggling to believe this morning, you're in good company, because those who follow Jesus, those who are some of his closest followers, had a hard time believing in the truth of the resurrection. And it was right in front of them. They had the chance to see that the tomb was empty, but they were trying to process it. And she's trying to work through her own grief and her own anger. And her anger is directed at the fact that she doesn't believe that Jesus has been raised, but rather this is some kind of a cruel trick. It was bad enough that they had to crucify the one that I love and the one that I serve. But now when I come to see him and I come to pay honor to him, he's not even here and they didn't even bother to tell us. Can you see the anger? There's anger that is here. And she says, I don't know. I don't know where they put him. She's crying. She can't believe and process. And so we take a look at this and we see that then Mary goes, she's about to leave. She's just had enough. I don't know where they put him. I've had enough of this. She's about to leave. John 20, 14 and 15. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. How many know this is hope, right? Somebody else is standing here. Maybe somebody else can make sense of what's going on. Who is it? It was Jesus. But look at this. She didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. He says, who are you looking for? And then she says, she thought he was the gardener. And she said, sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll go and get him. Listen, Mary is stuck on one thing. This is three times. She's stuck on one thing. It's not that Jesus is alive, it's somebody took the body. And this time she's found somebody to blame. You know what I'm talking about? She's found somebody to blame. She sees him, he's a gardener. It's actually Jesus. How many times will we blame Jesus? He's standing right in front of us. He's got the answer and we're blaming him. Because we don't want to see it. We don't want to see the answer, but we'd rather blame Jesus for the problem. The problem in the natural was she was grieving over loss, but she didn't want to see that the answer of resurrection life was standing right in front of her. Jesus was standing right in front of her, and she didn't recognize Jesus, because in the midst of her grief, in the midst of her despair, she had one thing on her mind, and that is, there is no way that Jesus can be alive. Somebody must have taken the body. Somebody must have moved it. I gotta blame somebody. Here's this gardener. Listen, if you have taken him away, will you tell me? Just tell me so I can go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then the moment of truth comes. John 20, verse 16. Mary, Jesus said. Mary. And she turned to him and cried, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. What breaks through to Mary? The sound of Jesus calling her name. It's the sound of Jesus calling her name. It's mercy. Jesus doesn't rebuke her and say, why didn't you believe? I gave you an angel. I gave you two angels. And you didn't even recognize me. What's the matter with you? Haven't we walked together? He doesn't say that. It's a day of mercy. Why? Because Jesus just simply understands her grief. He understands the pain. He understands what she's been going through. And he doesn't focus on that. Instead, he just says her name. Mary. Maybe it was the same name. We don't know a whole lot about Mary Magdalene except for a little. I started to try to look back. I want to know the story. What happened with Mary Magdalene? How did Mary Magdalene come to know Jesus? Was she one of them sinful women, you know, and that kind of thing? What happened? I couldn't really find a whole lot of answers except what the Bible tells us. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, in this very story, it gives a couple of details here, that as Jesus rose from the dead early on that Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman who he had cast seven demons out of, whom he had cast out seven demons. Seven. Man, there were demons in her head. They had her locked up. They had her bound. And the one who set her free, that was the one who had called her name. And I can imagine that as she looked back, she was hearing that same name and remembering back, that's the one who cleared the demons. And the one who delivered me of the seven demons is the one who is calling my name, is the one who is standing right in front of me. That's mercy. If you need deliverance today from the demons that are in your head, Jesus Christ is the deliverer today. And he's calling your name. Instead of hearing Mary, insert your name, because Jesus is calling your name this morning. On this Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is calling your name, because death no longer has the final say. The grave no longer has the final say. Sin has no longer the final say. The power of sin has been broken, and the power of death has been broken, because Jesus is alive. He declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Jesus offers that same mercy to all who believe. To all who believe, Jesus has offered a new day of mercy in times of grief and anger. Secondly, it's a new day of mercy for those who are afraid. Let's transition to the disciples. Other than Peter and John, the other disciples have not gone to the tomb at all. Peter and John rushed there and looked in, and they were bewildered. The other disciples are hiding out. They're hiding out. Why are they hiding out? They're afraid. They were a part of Jesus' closest followers, and Jesus was one who was killed for rebellion. And they were a part of his band. Certainly they would be next, so they're trying to take the heat off a little bit. We're going to go hide. In fact, scriptures say in John 20 and verse 19, that Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Earlier in the day, they didn't want to believe the report that had come back that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive. They didn't remember his words that he was coming back to life. They didn't know if they could possibly believe that. They were afraid, behind locked doors, trying to figure out what to do next. John 20, 19 to 20 says, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And he spoke and he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Friends, you know what this is? Jesus standing, coming in their midst, coming to where they are, behind locked doors and afraid, coming to where they are. You know what that is? That's a new day of mercy for those that are afraid. If you have ever experienced fear, it's a new day of mercy for you. It's a new day of mercy for you. They were afraid. Man, they had scattered during his arrest. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth was not, come on, guys, why did you leave me? The first thing out of his mouth was not a rebuke that they were afraid, a rebuke that they lacked faith. It wasn't a rebuke that they didn't want to believe the report of the women. There was not any of that. In fact, the words out of Jesus' mouth, the first words out of Jesus' mouth for those disciples that he loved who was afraid is peace. Peace. Friends, I want to tell you something. The resurrection is a new day of mercy if you have an anxious heart. There are a lot of things that we get afraid of today. There's a lot of things to be afraid of today. You might have fear that maybe you're not going to make it financially. Maybe you're not going to have a job this year. Maybe the lack of peace and security, there's just an anxiousness. Maybe you're concerned about your marriage. Maybe you don't know where that's heading or where a family relationship is at, where a wayward son or daughter is going to be. There's an anxiousness in your heart. There's a lot of things that can bring an anxiousness in our heart. And if you've come today and you are afraid and you have an anxiousness of your heart, let me tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one that says, listen, I have come to bring you peace. Amen. I have to come to give you peace for your anxious heart. That is what Jesus has come to do. And not only has he come to give you peace, but he's come to give you direction and guidance in your life. After he said, peace be with you, listen to what he says in John chapter 20 and verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. In other words, I still have an assignment. Your fear is not going to hold you back from me using you. The fear and the scattering and being afraid and the anxious of your heart doesn't preclude the desire that I have that you go and follow me. I've got a plan for you. I don't know about you, but that's huge. You know, what Jesus is saying is you may have lost faith in me, but I haven't lost faith in you. You may have lost faith in me, but I haven't lost faith in you. For somebody who sometimes struggles with fear, and I do, I'll admit it, I struggle sometimes with fear. Do I take this step of faith? Do we move out? Do we do this? Do we not do this? What do we do? I am so grateful for the mercy of God that in my fear, he still comes and says, peace, and still says, listen, go. I still have an assignment for you. He reminds me of his presence, gives me the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit, and sends me out once again. And friends, I can tell you, this is a miracle of mercy. Resurrection is a miracle of mercy, a new day of mercy. If you are afraid, you have an anxious heart, God wants to give you peace today to cover all your fears. Thirdly, a new day of mercy for those who doubt. See, one of the disciples wasn't present that day. His name was Thomas. He wasn't with the other 10. In fact, the book of John tells us that 8 days had passed before the disciples got back together again. And how many of you know when you have good news, you want to tell somebody, right? You want to tell somebody. John 20, 25 says they told him, meaning they told Thomas, hey, you weren't here. We have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers in them and place my hand in the wound in his side. See, resurrection is hard to believe. Even a week later, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but Thomas is filled with doubt. He's not buying it yet. He wasn't there in the upper room that previous Sunday, 8 days before. And you know what? He wasn't there, and we don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why. It doesn't tell us. He missed seeing the holes in Jesus' hands. He missed seeing the gaping slit in his side. He didn't get to be commissioned as an apostle and have that restoration. He didn't get to have the peace offered to his anxious heart. He didn't have the new life breathed into him. He's a little hesitant, even with the remaining disciples that are saying, listen, we've seen the risen Lord, even after hearing the testimony of the women that came back and said, we've seen the Lord. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. Thomas is saying, I don't know if I can buy that. In fact, not only is he saying, I don't know if I can buy that, but like you and I and anybody that is human, when somebody comes in and they begin to tell us, hey, we've seen something and we don't want to believe it, and they say, come on, you missed it, you weren't there. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to get defensive. We get defensive, and I think that's what's happening here with Thomas. He thinks that everybody's judging me. I didn't see it. I want me to believe I didn't see it. They all got to see it. This isn't fair. And he gets a little defensive. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, put my finger in his side, I'll not believe. So what does Jesus do with this? What does Jesus do with this? Is Jesus going to go, Thomas, 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 you're out. Man, you got too many doubts. You know, you already scattered once and now you got these doubts and you don't want to believe. Come on, Thomas, you're out. No, it was a new day of mercy for Thomas. John 20 and verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Notice the doors were locked. My goodness, weren't the doors locked 8 days earlier? How many of you know it's tough to battle fear, isn't it? It comes back, doesn't it? The doors were locked, and suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. And what does he say again? Peace be with you. Peace for an anxious heart. Peace be with you. And then he says to Thomas, hey, Thomas, can't believe you're doubting me, man. You're out. Open the door. Send him out. Is that what he said? Oh, wait, that's not what it says. He says, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Friends, that's mercy. That's mercy. The Lord understands that we're going to have questions. That, man, the resurrection is a hard thing to believe that Jesus Christ is alive, to believe in this idea of new life, resurrection life is hard to believe, and there are times we're going to be afraid, and there are times that we're going to doubt. But friends, I can tell you by the stories in the resurrection that Jesus has patience with you and I. When we have lost faith in ourselves, He is faithful. When we've lost faith in Him, He is faithful, and He is faithful to us, and He'll come to us, and He'll say, listen, if you are truly open, if you truly want to seek with your questions, not wanting to come with this hard-hearted, you know, I'm never going to believe this stuff, and you argue with people just to argue. There are people that argue just to argue. You may be here, and you argue just to argue. You don't have an open mind in your body. You don't have an open heart. You're not out. You're just out to try to make somebody's life miserable. As long as your heart isn't open, you'll continue to not believe because you don't want to. But if you're really genuine, say, Jesus, I need to know. I mean, show me. Jesus is going to show you. That's mercy. Jesus will prove Himself to you. Jesus will show you. Whatever it takes to get your questions answered. He says, seek with me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. That's what it says in Jeremiah. If you are seeking today, and you really want to know, and you've got real doubts, but you really want to know, let me tell you something. Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you today. It's a new day of mercy for you. He wants to reveal Himself and reveal His love to you today. It's a new day of mercy for those who doubt. Finally, this morning, it's a new day of mercy for those who fail. Anybody ever fail before? You know, during Jesus' arrest, most of His disciples scattered, right? And there was one who betrayed Him and then later committed suicide, Judas. We talked about him last Wednesday. But there was one who was in His close inner circle that denied even knowing Him. Denied even knowing Him. We know that's Peter. I mean, very emphatically, he denied it. But at the same time, earlier when Jesus had warned him and Jesus came to him and said, listen, Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows twice. You're going to deny me. Peter didn't want to believe it. In fact, Mark chapter 14 and verse 31, Peter says, no, he declared it emphatically. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And yet on the night of Jesus' arrest, when Peter was questioned three times about being a follower of Jesus and one of His disciples, you were with Him. Peter denied knowing Jesus. In fact, Mark 14:71 says the authority in which he denied it, Peter swore, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't even know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time, and suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times that you even know me. You deny that you know me three times. And he broke down and wept. And you know what? This, Peter broke down and wept. Why? Because he recognized his failure. He recognized he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. He recognized that he had let down his friend, that he had denied knowing Jesus, and he couldn't even look Jesus in the eye. When Jesus looked his way, he knew. He knew. In fact, on that Sunday morning, I don't think Peter was planning a trip to the tomb. I don't think he was planning a trip to the tomb. In fact, the women had come with their spices, but Peter and John were not there. None of the other disciples were there. I don't think Peter was planning a trip, but when he had heard that the tomb was empty, he had to go and see for himself. Why didn't he go to the tomb? Because he knew he had failed. He had failed. But friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant that there was a new day of mercy for Peter. Because when Peter wasn't planning on going to the tomb and Jesus showed up and he showed up for those women that were at the tomb, we read earlier in Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, something that the angels told the ladies to do. And it said, now go and tell his disciples. And look what it says, including who? Peter. Including Peter, that Jesus is going on ahead of you. Including Peter. Including Peter. It was a new day of mercy for Peter. Peter, you have failed me. But listen, I have risen and I want you to know it. I want you to know it. I want you to know that it is not the end. I want you to know that your failure is not the end. Rather, it is the beginning of an opportunity, a new day of mercy for you. A new day of mercy. Peter had failed. Jesus was alive. And he remembers Peter. Why? Why including Peter? Was Jesus about to rebuke Peter? Was Jesus about to slap Peter? Was Jesus about to say, hey man, I want to confront you. What'd you do? Well, there was a confrontation that took place. In fact, later in John's gospel, Peter returns to fishing with some of the other disciples. That was Peter's trade beforehand. That was Peter's trade. Now Jesus had shown up and he had said, I'm sending you. John chapter 20 and verse 21, go, I'm sending you. Breathe life into him. 8 days later, he showed up again. Doors were locked both times. This time, where are the disciples? Peter says, come on, we're going out fishing. Anybody like fishing? Let's go out fishing. You know, come on. Why? Well, you know what? It's time to get back to what we were doing. We were following Jesus. You know, we didn't follow Jesus before. We were fishing. Now we're fishing. We're going to go back fishing. And that's what he's doing. And Jesus shows up. And just like before, they had fished all night and they'd caught nothing. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you begin to return... If you experience Jesus Christ and following him, but then you go and return to your old ways because of your fear of failure, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to come up fruitless. You're going to come up fruitless. They were out fishing and they caught absolutely nothing. You know why they caught absolutely nothing? Because they weren't where they were supposed to be. They weren't doing what Jesus was calling them to do, what Jesus was setting them to do. And it was fruitless. But Jesus shows up anyway, because that's what Jesus does. In our failure, Jesus shows up. When we fail, Jesus shows up. If you fail, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. That's the gospel. That's mercy. Jesus shows up. And Jesus showed up and he said, hey, throw your nets to the other side. They threw them over. It was full. Their nets were full. They hardly carried. John recognized, I think that's Jesus. Hey, that's Jesus. Peter, man, he leaves them all to carry the fish all by themselves. He runs to shore. He can't wait. And where's Jesus? Jesus is waiting there. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is preparing breakfast. He's got a fire. He's got some fish. He's got some breakfast. They have breakfast. And then... it says this about after breakfast. John chapter 21 and verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Didn't I answer that already? He didn't say that. Then take care of my sheep. And Jesus said a third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It says Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked the question a third time and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And three times Peter questioned Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I might say, I don't think this is mercy, Jesus. You just keep bringing it up again. You know, one time you ask, okay. Two times maybe. Three times, I mean, I just feel like you're rubbing it in now, you know? You're rubbing it in. I mean, I know I denied knowing you. I know I denied knowing you three times. Do I really have to hear this question again? Each time when Jesus uses the word love gets more and more intense. To the point where Peter is finally at the place where he says, you know everything. You know everything. When it comes to reconciliation, sometimes mercy is letting us feel the consequences of our failure. In no way is Jesus saying to Peter, you're not fit to serve. He's not saying you're not fit to serve. What he's saying is, listen, Peter, in your mind, there's still questions about whether you can serve me. In your mind, there's still questions. So I say, do you love me? And you say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus, knowing everything, says, I still think there's questions in your heart as to whether you really believe that our relationship is reconciled. I'm going to ask you again, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Jesus, you know what? There's still some questions. There's still some questions. Feed my sheep. There's still some questions. I still know there's questions in your heart. Peter, do you love me? Finally, Peter just surrenders. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he says, then shepherd the ones I love. Feed my sheep. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, listen, Peter, I do know everything. I do know everything. Let me tell you what I know you. No, what I know about you. Verse 18, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself. You went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you stretch out your hands. Others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. You know what Jesus is saying here? You're right. I do know what you don't know. Just like I knew what you didn't know and that you weren't strong enough and you were going to deny me, guess what? I know what you don't know now, and that is your failure is not your future. Your failure is not your future. Because of the resurrection, because of the new life that I have given, because of this moment, I know what your future holds. And in your future, you're not going to deny me. In your future, you're going to glorify me. In your future, you are going to stand up for me. In your future, you're going to be worried less about you, and you're going to be worried more about glorifying me. In your future, you're going to give your life. You're going to give your life for me. I know your future. Let me tell you something. Your failure is not the end of your future. Your failure is not your future. It is a new day of mercy. The resurrection is a new day of mercy for you. Jesus says, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. If you will believe in me, if you will believe in the power of my resurrection, that same resurrection power lives in you. I know your future. I know your future. And that's why Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his, look at this, great mercy that we have been born again. Why? Why? Where is this great mercy? How do we have this hope that we have been born again? Where does it come from? Look at this. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we live with great expectation. Friends, you can live with great expectation. Peter lived with great expectation because he understood the power of the resurrection to forgive our failures and to change our future. There is a great day of mercy if you have failed. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come because today, friends, is a great day of mercy for you. If you are grieving today, if you are struggling with loss, if you are angry today, it's a new day of mercy for you. If you are hurting today, there is healing in Jesus Christ. There is healing today for your hurts. If you are anxious and afraid, there is peace today that is offered to you through Jesus Christ. If you have questions, if you are experiencing doubt, it is a new day of mercy for you. And if you have failed and fear it might be too late, it's a new day of mercy for you. Jesus has come with mercy for your grief, peace for your anxious heart, healing for your hurts. Jesus has come to answer the questions that you have in your heart. Jesus has come to forgive your greatest failures and restore the plan of God for your life. The resurrection means it's a new day of mercy for all who believe, all who will place their trust in Jesus Christ. So do you need forgiveness today? Come to Jesus. Do you need healing from your pain? Peace for your anxious heart? Confidence in your faith? Come to Jesus. Do you need God to open up your eyes and your heart? Come to Jesus today. Jesus is alive. And today, he offers a new day of mercy. Will you let this be a new day of mercy for you? Will you let this be a new day of mercy for you?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.